Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm beginning to get into the part where you petition God or you see something that you've prayed for manifest. For those of you who've watched our program every day, you'll realize that I was on the last segment, I was talking about that the primary purpose of prayer is just to have a relationship with God. It's for intimacy, communion with God. And I really believe that that ought to occupy 90-95% or more of all of our prayer life. And so I'm not retracting from that at all, but there are scriptures like in James chapter 4 where you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you might consume it upon your own lust. And I think maybe the verse right in front of that says you have not because you ask not. So there is a place to ask. There is nothing wrong with having a petition and asking God to meet a need. And all of us are needy and have things that God needs to perform in our life. And so I've really emphasized that we're supposed to have a relationship with God. And if our relationship with God was the way it was supposed to be, we wouldn't have to spend so much time asking for things. And so I'm not backing off from that at all. But there is a right way to ask and a right time to ask. It's just not all of the time or the majority of the time. But now we're going to begin to start talking about how is it that you see the power of God flow through you and manifest to like cause a healing or a deliverance from depression or to see a person saved or to have God give you wisdom and direction. And how do you receive from God? How do you do these things? And I tell you, this is a powerful truth. We're going to be sharing some things with you here that could make a huge difference in your life. Let me turn over to the example given in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus was with his disciples. This is at the very end of his earthly ministry. It's one of his very last times that he entered into Jerusalem before he was crucified. And as he was entering into the city, he saw a fig tree. Let me just read this unto you in verse 12. This is Mark chapter 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves only, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now, before we go on with this story and show you the real point that I'm trying to get at, I need to clarify some things because a lot of people wonder about, you know, why did God get mad at this fig tree? What is the deal? It says specifically here in the 13th verse that the time of figs wasn't yet. So why was he upset that it didn't have figs? Well, I've been told, I'm not a rancher, a farmer, or a type of person that would know these things, just my own personal experience, but I've been told by other people that a fig tree actually bears figs before it produces its leaves. So for a fig tree to have leaves but not have figs, even though it wasn't time for the figs yet, that means that this fig tree was professing something that it didn't have. In a sense, it was a hypocrite. It was a perversion. The Lord Jesus is the one who created everything. We see that in Colossians chapter 1, that all things were created by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus was the creator. Jesus is the one that told fig trees how to operate. He told them, you bear the figs before you produce the leaves. And this fig tree was a pervert. It was out of order. It wasn't doing what God told it to do. So even though it wasn't time for figs yet, Jesus was hungry, saw a fig tree that was professing something that it didn't possess. And when he went there and saw that this fig tree, in a sense, was a hypocrite, a pervert, he just cursed it and spoke to it. And notice it says that he said to the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And it makes special mention that his disciples heard it. And then there's a few verses here where he went into Jerusalem. He cast out the money changers in the temple and he went back to Bethany, walked back apparently by that same fig tree that evening, and they didn't see anything. The fig tree still looked the same as it did when they headed into Jerusalem that day. But on the next day, it says here, down here in Mark chapter 11, verse 20, and in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Now, you know, when we read something like this in the Bible, sometimes people have become so familiar with this, they just don't think about it. But picture this in your own heart. If you and I were walking down the street somewhere, and if there was a tree there, and for whatever reason, I just went over and spoke to that tree. I didn't touch it. I didn't pour anything on it, salt it, do anything. There was nothing physical. I just walked up to that tree and said, die in the name of Jesus. And then if the next day you walked by and saw this, say, oak tree or whatever, just shriveled up, dried up, dead from the roots, I can guarantee you, you'd be impressed. I'd be impressed. Amen. That would be a pretty powerful miracle. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He never touched that tree. He didn't take an axe to it. He didn't do anything to it. He spoke to it. And the very next day, that fig tree manifested that it was dead. And it says it was dried up from the roots. If you read this same example over in Matthew's account of this same story, over there it says immediately or anon, which means immediately the fig tree withered away. And yet, they didn't say anything. They walked back by that fig tree that afternoon and didn't say anything about it. It was the next day before what had happened became visible. And the answer to this, Matthew says it happened immediately. Mark says that they didn't notice it until the next day. The harmony between those two is that the moment Jesus spoke, that fig tree was dead. The roots died, but it's like a rose or something that you cut off. It'll still look like it's alive for a brief period of time. You know, I just bought my wife a dozen roses, and they've been good now for over a week. And they still, I mean, they're perfect. And yet they're cut off from the stem. It's not going to last. It's dead, but it looks like it's alive. And this fig tree was dead the moment that Jesus spoke to it. But you know what? It didn't happen, or it didn't manifest until about 12 hours later that people could see it. There's a great lesson in that. Because when you ask for something, God always moves in the spiritual realm first before it's manifest into the physical. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand that the spiritual world is the root for the physical things that you see come to pass, then if you pray for something and don't instantly see the physical realm change, then you're going to think nothing happened. When the truth is, at the root in the spiritual realm, the power of God is already manifest. Your answer is in the supply and it's on its way, and you could get into doubt if you don't understand that there is a spiritual world that things happen in first and then it's manifest into the physical. And so, when Jesus' disciples saw this, they were just amazed and they brought this to Jesus' attention like, Jesus, look what happened. They were amazed. And look at Jesus' response in verse 22. He answered and said unto them, have faith in God. You know, we don't know the inflection of his voice on this, but I can just imagine that Jesus was something like, have faith in God, guys. Like, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand what faith can do? Why does this amaze you to see something like this? You know, the Lord, he lives in the supernatural. The supernatural is not strange to him. The reason it's strange to us is actually because of the hardness of our heart. Because we have become so carnal and so sensitized to doing without and not seeing the power of God manifest. So we're shocked and amazed to see somebody talk to a tree and it die. But you know, Jesus is saying, guys, this is just normal. Have faith in God. Don't you understand what faith does? And then in the next verse, Jesus began to start revealing how he did this miracle, how this fig tree died. And so this is a lesson not only to those disciples, but it's a lesson to you and me on how to release our faith and how to see these things happen. Now, remember the context of all this. We're talking about prayer. We've talked about the primary purpose of prayer is relationship with God. Now we're talking about how do you receive from God? How do you see His supernatural power flow through you so that your physical circumstances change and that you see the perfect will of God manifest in your life? Jesus is telling us exactly how he performed this miracle upon the fig tree. And he said in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Boy, this is a powerful passage of Scripture. And you know what? Again, this is a familiar passage of Scripture, and sometimes because we are familiar with it and have heard it before, we think we've got all of the meat that's in this. But I tell you, this is a powerful truth that I don't think most people have plumbed the depths of what's really in this verse. There are three times in this verse that Jesus emphasized the words that you speak. He said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So Jesus, on instructing us how this miracle took place, how you manifest the power of God, he started off by emphasizing how important the words you speak are. Let me read this verse to you out of Proverbs chapter 18. And in verses 20 and 21, it says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." Now notice the word pictures that are painted by these words. It says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth." It's saying basically that every word that comes out of your mouth is like a seed that is going to produce some kind of a crop. You are going to eat every word that you speak. You know, if we just got hold of that one truth right there, I can guarantee you that would change a lot of the ways that we say things. I listen to people sometimes, you know, use profanity, and there's some people that it has gotten to where they say it so much they don't even think about what they're doing, but they say terrible things that if they were to think about that, these words I'm coming out of my mouth, I'm going to eat every one of them. I'm going to reap what I'm sowing with my words. If people were to think about that, I can guarantee you there's a lot of people that, boy, would put duct tape over their mouth if they had to keep from saying those words. There's people that say terrible things and then wonder why things happen. Most people just don't believe this, but the Bible says you are going to eat the fruit of your mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. And again, the word increase is talking about like fruit. Every word that comes out of your mouth is going to produce something, and you are full of what you've been saying. People don't like this. They like to blame their upbringing, their dysfunctional family, their mate. "It's that woman that you gave me. It's my hormones." We've got a million and one excuses for everything. But you know what? You are full of what you have been saying. And I know that there's people that reject this and say, "Oh, so you're one of those name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. You believe that you've got to say these things." And there's people who are critical, and a lot of that criticism comes because people have mistaken this truth and misapplied it and have been weird and have done things. I admit that there's been abuses of this, but that doesn't change what the Word says. You are full of what you have been saying. Some people think, "Oh no, I'm saying what I have." Nope. You are having what you're saying. That's what it says over in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. "You shall have whatsoever you say." You don't just say what you have. You are having what you say. And you may disagree with that, but you're wrong. That's what the Bible says. In verse 21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Here again, this is the third time in two verses that he talks about the words that come out of your mouth are like seeds that are going to germinate and produce fruit, and you are going to eat those words. You are going to be full of what you say. And notice it said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." It didn't say death and life and a whole lot of things in between that doesn't really matter. There's just a whole lot of wasted words. No, it only gave two options, death and life. Every word that you speak is producing either death or life. Even the things that we call these idle words that we speak and words that don't really amount to anything, we're just goofing around, they are either releasing life or death. There is no such thing as just idle, non-productive words. It says over in Matthew chapter 12, 35, it says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Man, that's a powerful statement. Every idle word. We think that there's a lot of things that we say that really it doesn't matter for good or for bad. It's just senseless, useless things that we say. We're just shooting the breeze. The Bible says every idle word that comes out of your mouth, you are going to give an account of. The Lord isn't going to just judge you on the extremely good things that you said or the extremely bad things, but every word that comes out of your mouth, you're going to give an account of before God. And by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. You know what? This is not the attitude that most people have. Some of you are probably terrorized by me quoting this scripture because you say, man, that's terrible. But you know what? You need to be aware of this. It's not a matter of you pick and choose how God's going to act. He's telling you how He's going to deal with things. In your words, words are what, you know, I could spend a lot of time explaining this, and I haven't got a lot of time to explain this. But words are what created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. God said, let the earth bring forth fruit. God said, let us create man. Everything that God did was created by words. Words are the parent force to the universe, to your body, to everything physical around you. They were all created by words. And since words are the parent force, then everything that was created by those words will respond to words. And one of the things that sets mankind apart from the animal creation is that God has given us the ability to speak words. We are created in His image. That means many things, but certainly one of those things it means is that we have the ability to speak words. And out of these words comes death or life. Not other things, just death or life. You have the ability. God has given us creative power with our words. And the sad fact is that most people aren't recognizing the power of these words. And so we're saying things where we're hung by our tongue. We don't realize, but we are reaping the fruit of the very words that we say. Man, that's powerful. And so as Jesus began to start teaching His disciples how you speak to a fig tree, how you see a fig tree die without ever touching it. You didn't do anything physical, natural. It was all supernatural, spiritual force. How is it that you have that much power manifest? Well, He started talking about the power of words. Jesus, of course, as Creator, as God, He created everything by His words. He knew the power of words. Jesus didn't say idle, vain words. And here's another clue. I could go off on this and teach on this for an hour. I'll just say this quickly. But not only are every word that you speak important, it's either releasing life or death, but every word that you hear somebody else speak is either life or death. That's not only true for you, but it's true for every word that you hear. And you know what? Many of us listen to people say things contrary to what we know to be truth. We listen to a lie. If you listen to a lie long enough, you'll go to begin to believing that lie. You cannot do that. You can't listen to this. And some people think, oh, I'm mature. It doesn't bother me. I know that the news media is biased, and yet I can still watch it, and it's okay with me. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. If you're a person who says, oh, I can listen to evil talk, and it doesn't bother me, you're deceived. You're deceived. And I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying it to enlighten you. I'm telling you that every word you speak and every word that you hear is either ministering life or it's ministering death. And if you don't understand that, then you know what? You aren't even to first base. You haven't reached the first rung on the ladder in understanding how you can see a fig tree die without you doing something physical to affect it. If you are going to start seeing supernatural power of God manifest in your life, you're going to have to come to a place where you start understanding the importance and the power that is in words. Words are how God released His faith. Words have to be involved in you releasing your faith. You've got to use the power of words. When it comes to being born again, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to use words to receive salvation. You've got to use words to receive healing. You've got to use words to receive deliverance and prosperity and joy and peace. And God gave every one of us a little miracle right here. Right below your nose, you've got the ability to speak words that can release life or death. And most of us have been ignorant of this, and so we just naturally gravitate towards the words of death, griping and complaining, speaking our fears. And by doing that, what we're doing is releasing the negative force of our words. You don't just naturally become positive. You don't naturally speak words of faith. It takes effort. It takes discipline. You have to renew your mind. And part of that renewal process is understanding what I'm sharing with you right here. You've got to start understanding the power that's in your words to effect a miracle. And so that's what we're dealing with. We're in Mark chapter 11 showing you how Jesus was able to kill a fig tree without touching it or doing anything in the natural. It was supernatural, and it began with him understanding and using the power of words. If you're going to see that same kind of results, you're going to have to come to the same conclusion that death and life are in the power of your tongue. Now, I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue this teaching on my program tomorrow, and I encourage you to listen in. Also, listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can receive these materials, and then join me again tomorrow for our Gospel Truth program.
Andrew's teaching titled, A Better Way to Pray, is available in book form for a gift of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Ask for book number T321. If you prefer, A Better Way to Pray is available in a 5-part CD album or in a DVD album recorded from television. Request album T1042 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify the CD album or the DVD album when you write or call. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side. The fourth audio CD in this album is also available for a donation. But for those unable to send a gift, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth teaching free of charge. Request teaching TY24 titled, Speak to the Mountain when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled, Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, many of you are being blessed and you're getting this truth about how important the Word is, and you don't even know how to get started. You don't know where to read. You don't know what to do. You know, that's the reason we put out our materials. They can help you. But really, the best thing I have to help you get into the Word of God is our Charis Bible College. And we not only have this campus here in Colorado Springs, but we have about 15 different Bible colleges scattered around the world. We also have an online Bible school that we just started this month. And you can now go online and in a class setting where you are interacting with other students, you can go through our online Charis Bible College. There's a lot of ways for you to take advantage of it, but I encourage you to call the number that you see on your screen and pursue participating in our Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th, and in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 15th through the 17th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, May 13th through the 15th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days. This is where we invite people to come in and check out our classes. We will be holding regular classes. It begins on a Wednesday and goes through Friday. You'll be sitting in on our Bible college classes. You'll get to hear the instructors. You'll get to have lunch with the faculty. There's also a soup supper. And it's just going to be a great time of the Word ministering to you. But also, if you have ever thought of coming to Charis Bible College, you need to be here. It's amazing what happens when people just come and try it out and get a taste of it. They get hooked on it. So I would encourage you to come check us out March the 10th through the 12th for our Charis Bible College Campus Days.
This guy called Andrew Womack began talking one day, and I was so impressed with his clarity, the way he would look at the Word of God as it really is, and also how he would make that relevant to us. And that's what I'm always after when I listen to any ministry, to what extent it's faithful to the Word. But I realize that I'm often not faithful to the Word. I make assumptions about things. And I found a man in Andrew Womack who never makes assumptions. He looks at what it says, he reckons that's the voice of God, and he tells us what God is saying.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if what we're preaching and giving people faith for is come to Jesus so your sins will be forgiven and you won't go to hell, well, then that's what they've got faith for. That's where they're living, and they have done it so that they can avoid hell. But they don't have as a goal intimate, close, personal relationship with Jesus.
He said on this particular tape, he said, look at John 3:16 as you've never looked at it before. It's the first time I've ever seen it. And he read it to us. And he said, for years, the church has tended to emphasize that the purpose of God sending his Son was that we should not perish. And though that's wonderfully true, and I shall not go to hell because of what Jesus did, the point, he said, is everlasting life. The purpose of our salvation is we should have everlasting life. I found there are 60 references in John's Gospel alone to life. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ makes me free at last from the law of sin and death. And I'm so grateful to dear Andrew Womack for pointing that out. I'd read it, of course I had, thousands of times. I'd never seen it. But he was used of God to show me what God is really saying instead of what I thought he was saying, which is wonderful, just wonderful.